Chapter 13. 113.1. Shouts on the deck above dimly penetrated Cor Faron's consciousness. He ignored them, as he had ignored all other outside stimulus in his days of isolation. Let the slaves and converts do as they wished. It would be in the lap of the powers, just as he had set Lorgar free into the wilds to whatever unkind fate awaited him. The thought of Lorgar doubled his grief, for he had lost not only his faith, but the only one who had shown him the truest passion and understanding. Never now would those books be read, for in his pride and vanity he had thrown away the key given to him by the powers. He had failed. He had failed his congregation and the powers, and he had failed their chosen messenger, Lorgar. There came a furious knocking at the cabin door, but he ignored it, stepping to grab the lantern from its hook in the ceiling. The door rattled and shivered as those outside threw their weight against it. The slaves, he suspected. Finally, the converts had abandoned him, and now the slaves would have their vengeance. He would deny them that injustice, for he had been only the vessel. Against the assault, the feeble lock could not hold, and the door flew open with a crash, revealing Axata and Nairo, with others clustered into the companionway behind him.
Master!
The chief convert shouldered aside the wreckage of the door. Is it all lost, Axata? The powers have abandoned me.
Lorgar lives, my master,
said Nairo, the words reluctantly shared.
The lookouts have spied him returning. He lives.
113.2. Never before had Nairo seen such fluctuating emotions on a man's face. Cor Faron had been the picture of despair when they had broken open the door, a course of action that Axata had insisted upon, for Nairo would have been happy to leave Cor Faron to whatever darkness of the soul had taken him. The preacher's grimed face was streaked with the tracks of tears, eyes raw and red. His robes were in disarray, revealing ragged scratch marks on the chest and shoulders where he had clawed at himself. His face was similarly crisscrossed with marks. Disbelief quickly replaced the grief, and then confusion. For just an instant, Nairo saw happiness, unparalleled joy, in fact, before Cor Faron's demeanour reverted to that which the congregation knew so well. Scorn.
You speak as if surprised, snapped the bearer of the word. Is he not the gift of the powers? This is vindication, that he has been returned to me. Blessed are we, that the powers turn their gaze upon us.
Axata and Nairo exchanged a look at this rapid reversal, taken aback by the sudden emergence of the old Cor Faron. Nairo thought to mention that the priest seemed similarly on the verge of giving up, but had no opportunity. Cor Faron strode towards them, adjusting his robe as he crossed the cabin, forcing Axata to step aside. It was as if nothing had happened, that they had come upon him studying his books and writing his observations as they had done 1,000 times before.
Out of my way,
Cor Faron snapped, when Nairo was tardy in moving from the door. The companionway was narrow, and the cluster of converts and slaves was forced to retreat up the steps, spilling onto the illuminated deck like water forced by a pump, with Cor Faron advancing implacably after them. Axata emerged a step behind and pointed over the preacher's shoulder to the figure in the starlit distance. A wagon had been sent out to fetch him, and they could see Lorgar taken on board. They waited in silence as the vehicle turned and headed back towards the temple rig, thick wheels churning the ceaselessly moving sand. 113.3. They crowded the rail as the wagon neared, though a respectful empty space remained around Cor Faron. Nairo studied the preacher's expression, seeking some sign of his intent. The bearer of the word stared into the distance, following the course of the wagon without reaction. Yet when the vehicle came alongside and Lorgar could be seen, there was the merest hint of something, but it chilled Nairo to see it. Triumph. Nairo could feel his world slipping away again. Cor Faron would emerge from the mutiny stronger and more zealous than ever. It mattered not that Axata and his converts were much diminished. With Lorgar returned, Cor Faron would be all-powerful again. Yet the slave could not resent the youth's survival. He looked down at the wagon and saw the boy, skin darkened by the sun, but not reddened or blistered, as it should have been after such exposure to the unrelenting elements. The sight of Lorgar filled him with joy, an elevation of the spirit beyond the simple pleasure of seeing an ally returned. With easy movements, Lorgar jumped from the wagon to the ladder up the side of the temple rig. In one hand he held his mace, its head and shaft dark with dried blood, as was the youth's arm. His chest was splashed with the same, though run through with tributaries of sweat across his golden skin. He hauled himself to the deck and stood before Corpheron, head slightly bowed.
"It is done, my master," said Lorgar.
None were spared. The converts and slaves lifted their voices in praise and gave wordless cheer to this pronouncement. Corpheron matched the youth's look, fixing him with his gaze. Nairo saw a flicker of something in Lorgar's face, just the smallest of changes. A subtle challenge, perhaps, as he held the priest's stare, rather than looking away in deferment. In Corpheron's eye he saw something of recognition too. He gave the slightest of nods and stepped back. 1.13.4 As he did so, Corpheron seemed to notice the book in his hand. Nairo had not paid it any heed, but it seemed the preacher had been holding it when they had broken into his cabin. Now he recognized it, just as Corpheron looked down and saw it also. The Revelations of the Prophets, the holiest book on Colchis. Corpheron held it up like a banner, for all on the temple rig and beyond to see.
"The powers have made their will known to me," he declared. "The truth is revealed, and their blessings laid upon our cause. Lorgar is returned to us, one of the faithful, a servant to the word."
"A servant, my master, not a slave?" Had he not been so close, Nairo might have missed Lorgar's whispered question. The youth looked at Corpheron, and then at the book in the preacher's hand, his meaning pointed but lost on the slave. Corpheron seemed to understand the intent, and paused in his delivery to spend a heartbeat evaluating Lorgar's stare. The priest nodded, a little reluctantly at first, but again with more vehemence, while whatever thoughts that uncoiled inside his brain took form. When he spoke, it was with slow deliberation, which might have been taken for emphasis, but Nairo could see that it was simply a mask for a lingering uncertainty. The priest's gaze did not move from Lorgar, even though it seemed his words addressed them all.
"A time of testing, I have said before. All of us must undergo it, be it as master or slave or convert or acolyte. Our doubts made manifest, our enemies both real and phantasmal laid before us. The powers have no need of the weak. They reward the strong. As I was shown the path to the truth while I wandered the unforgiving sands, so Lorgar has placed himself before their immortal gaze, proving his worth and writing his faith with the blood of our foes."
Corpheron's hesitancy had gone, his voice now strident once more. He thrust the book towards Lorgar, who looked at it with surprise and bafflement for a moment before he took it.
"It has been made clear to me that I tread a different path from now. My present course is run. Though I shall remain your guide in all matters of faith, a new messenger has been delivered to us."
Corpheron smiled at Lorgar, and, anticipating what was to come, Lorgar beamed back, his joy infectious. His excitement seeped into Nairo to the delight of the slave, even as the rational part of his mind screamed in despair as Corpheron's grip on the boy took a new and even more dangerous turn. The priest stepped back and bent one knee before Lorgar, eliciting gasps from the converts and slaves together.
"Behold, our new bearer of the word!"